and welcome to Rebel Force Alliance, a podcast about Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes. I am your host, Ednar, as always. I am joined tonight by actually only one of my co-hosts. We do not have Dave today. He has to get up super early in the morning for some stuff. So, yeah, we will not have him around. But I do have Coleman. Coleman, you're back from fighting the lava monsters. How are you doing, buddy?
Not too bad, Mr. Salty. How about you?
I am super salty.
I know you are. And you always are. What is it this time?
We'll get into that.
No, we won't.
Yes, we actually will. So, nope. So you were all fighting lava monsters. How'd that go?
Yes. Oh, it was intense, you know. We touch base ground, and the first thing we do is we pull out our super soakers, and we just start hosing down all the lava monsters. They harden up, and now there's statues out there that we continue to smash.
So I don't believe like 99% of that.
So now also we're investigating the fact of how they get released from the lava in the first place, and we're pretty sure it has something to do with the mole people.
See, I would be more concerned with how they survive in the lava.
They're created of lava.
Still, so, how do you breed in lava?
You don't want to know. I'd imagine it'd be something like fish, where the female fish, you know,
lay eggs or
something like that, and then you know the male lava men swim through the lava, fertilizing the eggs.
Okay, all right. So that's a great way to start the show.
And this has been
how
another
lava people
fascinating
are made.
Educational episode of Rebel Force Alliance podcast. Thank you, everyone. You have a good night.
No. So you are back this week, but we don't have Dave. And we have three new characters to talk about. Well, two new characters and a new ship. We finally got a new ship.
So two and a half characters.
We finally got a new ship. One down, 25 to go. But
Where's my Anakin Skywalker ship?
We'll get to that. Because that's
he's the best pilot in the galaxy.
That's actually part of my saltiness. But, alright, one thing I did want to mention before we start diving into this. They released a bunch of information, but the thing is E3 is going on right now. And if you don't know anything about gaming, E3 is kind of like the mecca for game release information. So everyone gets
in front of me right now.
Yeah. So PlayStation, Xbox, Microsoft, all EA, all do these presentations announcing games. So that takes up most of their time. We haven't gotten anything Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes related, and I doubt we will.
No, we're not going to. They released that statement last week saying that they're not going to be at E3. Yeah.
But all the game changers are out there right now. Right. So we're not seeing any new videos released from them, which means we're probably not getting any new stuff. So we got the three new heroes, and then the other thing I want to talk about is Jedi Rey is coming back in, 4 days from now? So on June 14th to June 20th. So, yay. Yay for those who don't have Jedi training Rey to go out and get her. And if I hate to say this, but if you haven't farmed Vet Chewie and Vet Han by this point,
should probably invest money into it.
I don't feel bad for you for not having. I just don't. You've had like 6-7 months to farm two characters in Cantina. I don't feel bad
but
for you.
At the same time, if we don't feel bad for him, but what about the ones who just came into the game and legitimately can't get her?
Those are the ones who just came into the game. That's a different situation. Because they're behind on everything. And I don't think Jedi Training Rey is the first character they should go after.
I think CLS
and Thrawn are probably better than JTR if you're a new character, a new player. I mean, I put Rey probably fourth, maybe even fifth. Because, I put CLS up there. What CLS team, or what Thrawn would be two. Palpatine.
I would say maybe Thrawn over Thrawn first instead of CLS, only because you're going to be having Phoenix along with Thrawn.
Yeah, which
is going to help you in the game tremendously.
Yep, which will also give you 5 Rebels.
Mm-hmm.
Which will get you number 3 on that list, which I think is Palpatine.
Mm-hmm.
And number four, R2.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
No, that's Empire.
Well, no. Number four of the, like, legendary characters to get.
Oh, okay.
Would be R2.
You lost me there for a second.
And then it would be JTR. In my mind. That, like, that's the order. Like, JTR, she's nice to have. But if you're new to the game, she's down there on the totem pole.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that is coming back on the 14th to the 20th. So go out, get her, and get in
is
here.
It,
what?
Is it Mythic Event yet?
I don't think so.
Are they... I thought that might be a thing.
No, I don't think they did Mythic with CLS, did they?
I don't know when the last CLS event was.
Yeah. They're doing Heroic with Yoda for the first time this month. I know that.
Mm.
So, everyone can bang their heads on that, because not many people have five, you know, Gear 12 Jedis, because the most important, arguably one of the two most important factions, I'll include Empire, is complete shit in this game. So,
well,
Jedi are
complete
crap in this game.
Because believe it or not, I think I'm close.
Well, you're not the norm.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I would have 6, but my Hermit Yoda's not. 7-star.
Yeah. So, like, yeah. It's one of those things where I probably won't get it. I think I have 5 at, like, gear 10 and 11 with some Zetas, but that's really about it. And I'm not going to put work into them for a Mythic event for a character who's complete crap. I'm still bitter that Grandmaster Yoda is not powerful in this game.
Aha, there's part of the salt.
Part of the salt. Alright, so is Grandmaster Yoda not the most powerful Jedi we have in the game? I know. Who's more powerful Jedi? In the game
Jedi
right
Anakin.
Now. In the game.
According to the Metachlorians, which are made up for the prequels, Jedi Anakin is stronger than Hermit Yoda. Or even Yoda. Or whatever. Grandmaster Yoda.
No.
Do you not remember the line? It's higher than Master Yoda's.
Just because he has a higher Metachlorian made-up thing.
Hey, Metachlorians mean everything.
No, they don't.
Plus he hates sand. Don't forget that.
But, I mean, the only one who's a bigger, like, badass Jedi than Grandmaster Yoda is...
Qui-Gon.
Old Man Luke.
No.
Yeah. Old Man Luke is probably the best Jedi of all time.
Old Man Luke is a punk.
Well, you're just bitter because he... Yeah, whatever. We're not getting into this again.
He won't even face Kylo Ren face-to-face.
Because he wasn't there.
Projection.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he could have just gone on the Falcon with Rey and Chewie and been like, yo, Kylo, I'm here to fight you.
Yeah, except Kylo was too big of a pansy to realize it was a hologram.
He just wanted to kill him. I mean,
if you think killing a hologram is the same as killing a real person, we need to have talks.
I still think Old Man Luke's a punk.
Yeah, well, you may think that, but it's not true. But, you know, I have a problem with, and I know, and this is a common complaint I've heard, is how...
There's no Hondo?
Yeah, well, there's no Hondo. But how some of these super important characters in the game are not, or in the movies and in the universe, are not that good in the game.
Oh, like Force Ghost hurt Yoda?
Yes. Well, Force Ghost Yoda is good in his own regard. He's 10 times better than Grandmaster.
He can summon lightning.
He's 10 times better than Grandmaster Yoda.
He can summon freaking lightning.
Yeah. And before the Pelp rework, Pelp was basically useless. Like, he really was. Yeah. But then you had no-names like Night Sister Zombie, who was dominating things. You know what I mean? Like, before we had CLS, we had Luke Skywalker. Well, Luke Skywalker is basically what the whole Star Wars universe... Him and Vader are what had the whole universe built upon those two. And
Blue Jean Luke is OP.
No, he's not. Okay, yes, he is. So he was crap in the game, And even for a while, until they reworked Vader with the Zeta.
Beta. We gotta do Beta with a Zeta.
He wasn't good either. And then then we keep getting these characters like Empress Nest, or you know, no name like TIE fighter pilot, things like that who are good in this game. General Grievous, probably top five biggest fan favorites in the game right now, is utterly useless. You even have to agree with that.
Yeah, he is utterly useless right now, but, you know, devs have come on numerous times, and they've told us numerous times that he is getting, like, the mother of all reworks.
And we've heard this, but I ain't holding my breath.
Yeah. I think, so as far as that goes, is that, you know, keep in the back of your head that at E3, as we were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. Battlefront 2 did say they're, for the summertime, they're doing Clone Wars stuff. And I'm almost wondering if that's when, if this summer we're going to start getting Galactic Republic Separatist reworks.
I mean, I can see it. They did say that they are going to be doing a Separatist rework. I remember this from an interview they did, or some quip that they said a while back. A Separatist rework was in the books or in the future. But they kind of say that about everything. Like, we're looking at it, we have it on the dock to talk about, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So, but whenever it does come out, if CG's listening or anyone over at CG's listening, please, please, just give us Droidica. Destroyer Droid.
Yeah, there's a lot of droids that they could throw into this game. Now, the thing is would it be a droid rework or would it be a Separatist rework?
I think it would be Separatist, so it would include, like, the Geonosians and all that, too.
Okay. I mean, it's kind of like the difference between bounty hunters and scoundrels.
Right.
Really.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing.
It's like everyone has the same tags, but...
Yeah, scoundrels we didn't get a rework, but bounty hunters did, but bounty hunters still aren't good.
They're not bad.
They're not like, hey, let's go all in. No. Speaking of which, I went all in. I finally got a full-on Night Sister team.
Nice.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm still sitting here looking at my mistakenly Zeta Talzin lead.
Ooh, I didn't Zeta her lead, but I have four Zetas on this Night Sister team.
Yeah. Do you remember way, way back in a past so far away when we didn't have the Are You Sure Zeta button?
Mm-hmm. I never made that mistake.
Yes, I made that mistake on Talzin.
Ooh. I mean, in theory, it's not a bad Zeta.
No, but it's horrible in reality.
Yeah, but then Asajj's Zeta is that much better.
So much better.
Yeah. Now the trick is I've actually... I have to... I'm probably going to transfer out of the guild I'm in now. Stay in Rebel Force, but transfer out. I need to find a better raid type. Because I can only hit phase one and nothing else.
Can we sit and talk about that for a second?
Sure.
Raid times for everyone, like even for Dark Lords where I'm at, you know, raid times are big for people.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of want to know I understand the feeling of the raid time. So that's really enough to make you force change guilds, and it'd be the deciding factor of if I join a guild or not.
So it is one of those weird times in the raid. So before, but when the raid wasn't on farm, when you're still working on it, it was basically, you know, once we launch it, we're going to monitor it for the next 48 hours. Make sure it gets there. Then you have it on farm. Then you have to kind of switch to, do we have... So what we do is we wait 24 hours, and then it's a free-for-all.
Right, we do the same thing.
No, wait, no, what we do is we start it, and it's a free-for-all. Mm-hmm. But it lasts, like, 16, 20 hours, whatever, because it goes overnight. Some people wait 24 hours, and then they do a free-for-all. And some do, which this is what I prefer, is they do phase 1 and 2, night 1, phase 3, 4, night 2.
Mm-hmm.
That way, people can still get in their damage, and... give people enough time. It's just we're at that weird phase now where we're not going to be blowing through the raid like you do with the heroic AT. Like, you start the raid, and it's dead in an hour.
Yeah, you have numerous people who can solo the raid now.
Yeah, and we're not at the point where, like, we can bust through a phase in 5-10 minutes with ease. Like, without having to restart or, you know, back out or do any of that shit. So it's one of those we're in the weird transition period, and we start late enough at night for me. I can get on and I, you know, do my phase one run, and then I go to bed because I wake up early, and you know, we're just ending phase two when I wake up in the morning, but then I have to go to work and I can't raid at work because I don't have internet in the bathroom. So I can't do what I call ETT, that is effective toilet time, and that is raiding on the toilet, which every Swagga player does.
Indeed.
I mean, yeah. So ETT, effective toilet time. That is what Swagga raiding is all about. But I can't do that at work. It's like they put up like barriers around the bathroom, so you can't get reception. So I can't raid again till I get home, and by that time, it's already done. So I need someone that I can do that has, like, the phase 1 and 2, night 1, phase 3 and 4, night 2 type of thing.
So I wish there was, like, a universal good time for everybody, but there's not.
Right, yeah. It's impossible, yeah. But the thing is this will go away once we get a little bit more progressed in the game.
Yeah, and the, you know, the I think the thing here, too, is now the join button. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Where before the raid even starts, you hit the join button and it signals a zero for you. I love that feature. It's made getting a zero easy.
Yeah, you know, it really has, because you don't have to do a sacrificial lamb.
Yeah, you don't have to, like, throw a Hermit Yoda in there and he just jumps out.
Oh, see, I count Dooku.
Oh, I think I've been doing, like, Ewok Scout.
I hate Dooku.
Really?
I fucking hate Dooku. Not, like, the character in the game. Oh, sorry, not the character in the movies, but the actual character in the game.
Oh, okay.
When, like, I first started, that was all you saw in Arena and Galactic Wars. And his counter was the most annoying feature of all time.
It still is.
It is.
I still shudder when I have to face Dooku. I'm like, I don't want to fight him.
When are you facing Dooku? Seriously, when are you facing Dooku? Because Dooku doesn't come within, you know, 50 feet of any form of team that works right now.
So, in Galactic War.
Whoa. You of all people do not actually still do Galactic War. You sim it. Don't try and tell me that you don't sim it.
So here's my defense. These titles.
Oh, yeah.
There's some of these titles where you have to do battles, and you can't sim the battles. So I use the Galactic War battles to count toward the title.
Lame.
Hey. It's entertaining. I use Jedi, okay?
Only time Jedi are used. And once you get the title for Jedi Master, whatever the title is, will you still be using them? No.
Yes.
You won't.
I will. Just to spite you.
Fine. Let's get back on track. Let's talk about these
Wait,
three.
Wait, we have topics to discuss?
Yes, we have three new characters. Two and a half characters.
Wait, what universe is this?
It's a Star Wars universe. I know.
Oh. I'm in the wrong one.
So, we got what everyone knew was coming. One of the worst kept secrets. We got young, you know, childish Landino. Young Lando Calrissian. But we also got, not a huge surprise, but, you know, a pleasant surprise. In the Scoundrel Droid Tank L337 from the movie as well. And then we also got the old Millennium Falcon. So we have two versions of the Millennium Falcon people don't want.
And you know we have 5 Han Solos and we only want one.
Yep. And we have, 3 Chewies and not one of them is the one anyone wants?
Yep.
So,
yeah. I like Clone Wars Chewie.
No one likes Clone Wars Chewie.
Why else would everyone ask for his shards every year?
I don't know. Do I even have him? I don't even know if I have him at 7 stars.
I don't.
I basically rely on CG to gift me those
thing.
To gift me those to 7 stars.
Thing. I'm like, I'm not wasting energy on this character if CG is going to give him to me for free.
Right? Now I'm intrigued where I have him. What tags does he even have?
Scoundrel?
Okay, there you go. Clone Wars Chewbacca. No shit, I have him at 7 stars.
Oh, you're better off than me.
Hey, there we go.
You have a date on him?
No. Hard pass.
Oh, you gotta get on that.
He has one?
Yeah.
That's some shit. He was amazing when you first started the game.
Oh my god, yeah, he's the man when you started the game.
Yeah. And then I had my buddy who got me into the game basically was like, don't invest anything into him. When you get past level 50, he's useless. I'm like, fair enough. Fair enough.
Thanks for a heads up.
Yeah. Because there's really no version of Chewbacca that's good.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe we need C-3PO to come in to really make Chewbacca shine. I'm still shocked we don't have him.
C-3PO?
Yeah. Like, I would not be surprised if he's our next legendary.
Use the Ewoks to unlock him.
Mm-hmm. No, Jawas? Jawas.
Ewoks, dude. Ewoks. He's
oh, yeah,
Ewok
no.
God.
Jawas would have been R2-D2, I thought, for a while.
Yeah. I could have seen that.
I don't know. I'm just farming Jawas right now because they're the only faction that I don't have at least 5 characters of that faction at 7 stars.
Mm.
So, I'm just like, just in case. Just in case. Finally got all 5 Separatists because I got Grievous up to 7 stars.
Mm-hmm.
That's an annoying grind, by the way.
Yeah, you gotta get it done quick and just get it over. It's like a Band-Aid, just rip it off and get it over with.
Yeah, I got it done, so I'm content.
Luckily he's in the shard shop, so it's not too difficult.
Yeah, but that's where I get... That's like my primary resource of gear nowadays.
Then the 375 crystal gears.
Ones, yeah. Yeah, that's another big one.
That's been like one of their best updates ever.
Yeah, and Galactic and Guild Currency. Guild Currency.
Yeah.
I will occasionally, if I'm farming a specific item, spend Guild Event Store currency, not on Hermit Yoda or Wampa. But that's a rare occasion.
Yeah, but so what's your thoughts on L337?
All right, well let's start off with them. We'll just dive right into their kits. We'll start off with young Lando. Wow, I have Hondo on the brain. I just started a new Overwatch account, by the way, because I'm a dork who plays Overwatch. And my in-game name is Hondo. So, thought I'd just point that one out. Young Lando Calrissian. He is obviously the light side. He's a scoundrel. He's an attacker. Go over his basic real quick. Basic, silent shot. Final text reads, deal physical damage to target enemy and inflict potency down for 2 turns. This ability deals 25% more damage for each prepared ally. If it's young Lando's turn, enemies can't gain buffs. or bonus turn meter during this attack. This attack can't be countered. I mean, it's a basic.
It's a basic. I think it's very, very unique, though, with the potency down.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, like, because I haven't really gotten to play against it, and I'm curious to just know how well that potency down works. Like, can you not land a debuff at all? Like, tenacity up?
Yeah, that would be, like, do we have any other characters who have potency down?
Nah, he's the first one.
Hmm.
Aside from, you know, of course, like, uniques and leaderships, but I believe he's the first one in this game to actually inflict it on an attack.
Yeah. The thing that actually stuck out to me was, and that was basic, was enemies can't gain buffs or bonus turn meters during his attack.
So that means Rex.
That is what I immediately took from that, is like, okay, well, this is an anti-Rex ability, essentially, because...
Right.
So, you know, it's a basic, it doesn't hit, you know...
Hard.
Yeah, I'm just pulling up his stats real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it doesn't hit for shit.
No. I saw that in the practice rounds. I was like, ooh, he's not hitting for anything.
Mm-hmm.
He's hitting for Jedi level.
Yeah, which is not what you want to be. You do not want to be on, like, oh, fucking Jedi. Okay.
I think the Jawas hit harder.
They do. I think Hermit Yoda is the hardest hitting Jedi out of the group.
Doesn't hit at all.
Doesn't hit at all. Still hits harder than Grandmaster Yoda. Okay, so let's go to his first special, Hot Hand. Final text. Oh, by the way, cooldown 14. So, large cooldown. Obviously, they'll have a way to reduce it. But final text reads, deal physical damage to target enemy and inflict ability block for one turn. At the end of each turn, there is a 50% chance for each debuffed enemy to reduce the cooldown of this ability by one.
And 50% is going to be activating all the time.
Yeah, and it's at the end of each turn.
Yeah.
So that's so that, everybody's that cooldown's turn.
Actually in reality like a two or a three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, in all honesty, let's say it hits all other nine characters, you hit it all. That reduces the cooldown by nine.
Yeah, so you're at five.
Yeah, so you're down to five, and that's after one turn. So, yeah, you're probably looking two to three. Probably more the three range, I'd say, just mm-hmm. because of the 50-50, but, you know, it's an okay special. It's honestly nothing special.
No, it's nothing special to warrant a 14-turn cooldown with chances to reduce it.
Now, I will say this, it hits like a goddamn truck.
It hits harder than Vandor Chewie?
It hits, the damage range is 11,600 to 13,000.
It's not. I mean, that's okay.
Oh man, it's the hardest hitting attack in the game. Like, that's pretty special. I'm on swugago.gg and I'm looking at all attacks and they base that off damage. So Young Lando is Hot Hand is number one. Talzin Spirit Blade Assault is two. Scavenger Ray Leverage is three. Sith Marauder is four. Distance five. First sort of TIE Pilot. So on and so forth. So, and it's a physical attack.
Right.
So, yeah, it hits like a truck. It's just, is that one ability on, because you're going to get those games where you're going to have a five-turn cooldown on this.
Oh, absolutely. It's going to happen to you all the time.
It's a 100% RNG ability.
So, in other words, let the AI have it. Because the AI, whatever the game does, it's in favor of the AI.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So it will be RNG, cannot count on it. So
50% chance, like flipping a coin, except when the AI is a two-faced coin.
Yeah, 60% of the time it works every time. I mean, I like the ability though. It inflicts ability block, and it hits like a truck. Good enough.
Right. Good enough for me.
Yeah, it's basically like Scavenger Ray. It's like her big hit, but also inflicts ability block. That's essentially what it is. It's like that if it had a random cooldown. So,
right.
Special 2, dealer's choice, cooldown 3. Final text reads, dispel target other ally. Grant them stealth and potency up for 2 turns. Young Lando gains 50% turn meter.
Mm.
Prepared. If Young Lando is prepared, target other ally becomes prepared, and Lando is no longer prepared. Then, all prepared allies gain speed up for 2 turns, and this ability's cooldown is reduced by 1.
Hmm. I mean, I guess it's okay.
It's a dispel.
Yeah.
And I'm not blown away by this. This is a very meh ability.
Yeah, I'm not blown away by really any of the solo kits.
I think Kira has actually a really good kit.
Yeah, or when actually, you I, have guess it I should say all together. The prepared kits.
Oh, the prepareds? Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not really too impressed with those, except, no. Not even his.
So, alright. Let's go on to his unique. So, his unique. If Young Lando is buffed, he has plus 50% crit chance and plus 15% crit damage. Additionally, if Young Lando is prepared, he has plus 15% crit chance and plus 15% crit damage. At the start of Young Lando's turn, he has a 40% chance to become prepared. Additionally, for each debuff enemy, he has 50% chance each to become prepared. So he's going to be prepared all the time.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Hmm.
And,
Which is kind of interesting with the dealer's choice, because then you have a pick of who needs to be prepared.
Yeah. He's going to have... Oh, God, I'm just looking at Kira's leadership ability.
I don't even know what that leader ability...
So, Kira's leadership ability, Scoundrel Allies have plus 20% crit chance, and whenever they score a crit hit, they recover 10% protection and gain additional bonus based on their rolls for the rest of the battle. So, he's an attacker, right? Yeah. As an attacker... he would get plus 10% offense stacking. Max of 3 stacks. So, max of plus 30% offense. On top of all that for each crit. So, this team is basically built on crits. And his unique essentially gives him 30% crit chance and 30% crit damage. The majority of the time. I mean, I'm grasping at straws here with this guy. Like, I'm not enthused by this kit. I think if you're ever putting together, a solo team, obviously he's going to be good on that team with Kira and, Young Han. And
the more prepared the abilities, the better.
Mm-hmm. But he's not a character like, Nest or someone like that who could fit on another team. It's basically, you have to have him on this team or you will not have him on any team.
Yeah, so he's not a standalone character and I don't think, and he's certainly not arena worthy.
No, he is not. So, my decision on this, hard pass on spending money on it.
Yep.
Wait till he's out.
Yep. Wait until he's completely free to play. I wouldn't buy him at shipments anything.
Yep.
Because there are those certain tunes where you're like, I can wait till shipments to get that one.
Yeah. Now, the
but
only
I
thing
will
I
pay for the packs.
The only thing I will say this is, some people love Lando.
Right.
And if you really like, I've already seen not on my shard, on another shard, I already saw a full 7-star gear 12 solo team.
Oh yeah, there's a guy in my guild has 7-star gear 12 entire solos. I'm like, oh, good lord.
Yeah. So, all right, let's go to his, compatriot in L337.
Oh, you mean his lover?
Yes, his lover. So, L337 is a droid, light side, scoundrel droid tank. Droid tank that can dispel allies and has multiple ways to increase her stats permanently. Ah, it's a female droid. Alright, there we go. I didn't know.
Apologies ahead of time. Ednor has not seen Solo.
I have not seen Solo. But the thing
but
is
on it.
Can a droid be a male or female? It's a robot. I'm just saying. Like, it's a robot.
You'll have to see.
Can't really be male or female. I mean, I can change my Siri's voice from male to female with the flip of a switch, so. But, alright.
Please don't.
So, alright, let's go over this. And, so, basic. Daring advance. Basic is deal physical damage to target enemy and inflict defense down. And if L3 is prepared, she gains plus 10% max health stacking until end of the encounter.
Mm-hmm.
So the most basic of basic attacks. Basic of basic attacks. But with a good...
Basic attacks?
But a good prepared... I like this prepared. As a tank, 10% max health stack. I mean... Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, my only issue is that, you know, she's still going to be vulnerable to exposed mechanics and the Deathmark mechanic.
See, yeah. I mean, people said that exposed mechanic, but with the resistance before, this is pre-JTR, and that wasn't the issue. Like, I even went, like, because I ran resistance forever in Arena, and when Nihilus came on, I saw Nihilus leads left and right. And my team, which was built on exposes, it's not as big of a factor as people think.
Hmm.
So. And it's also her basic. So,
right.
Any basic that gives your character plus 10% max health stacking is
I mean, it is true, because you look at Nihilus now, and as you keep hitting him and hitting him and hitting him, he just won't die.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, oh my god, he's like red bar, but he's not moving.
Mm-hmm. So, alright, first and only special, Spark of Hope, cooldown 3. So, final text, deal physical damage to target enemy and gain taunt for one turn. Again, they went real basic with the actual abilities.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's good for AI purposes.
Yes. But then they had to add in the prepared. So, prepared.
Right.
Heal all scoundrel and, this is key, and droid allies for 30% of L3's max health. Then grant all prepared allies tenacity up for 2 turns. Tenacity up, of course, being one of the most useless things in the game. If any other allies are prepared, reduce the ability. This ability's cooldown by 1. L3 is no longer prepared. So, take everything out of it. Heal all scoundrel and droid allies for 30%. You have a tank who heals for 30% on a 3-turn cooldown.
Hmm.
And if any other allies are prepared, reduce this ability's cooldown by 1. So really, it's basically at least going to be an every other turn, you're going to be able to use this ability.
Right. Now, how much droid synergy does she actually have?
A decent... Like, we'll go through her uniques and stuff like that before we go into her droid synergy. It's just... Droids didn't really have a tank.
Hmm. Yeah, no, they never had a real tank. They had R2, but I mean, that's not a taunting tank.
And BB-8 for some reason gets taunt.
Yeah, I think it's part of his, what is it, secret intel?
Yeah, something like
Omega.
That. Yeah, which I never got why he got taunt. But so this is an actual tank, and you know what else it gives them? It gives them a heal.
Right.
Which, correct me if I'm wrong, they've never had before.
The only heal they've ever had, I guess, would be with Jawa Engineer, but that's not really...
Who's not a droid.
Thing. Yeah, he's not there. He's not a thing anymore.
Yeah. So, alright, let's go on to her uniques. So, hey, her first one, I've had some drinks today. Shut it. So, first unique for the droids. At the start of L3's turn, if L3 didn't take damage from any enemy since her last turn, she gains prepared. Whenever L3 takes damage from an attack, dispel debuffs from a random debuffed scoundrel ally at the end of the round. Whenever another droid or scoundrel ally takes damage from an attack, L3 gains 15% turn meter. The first time each other droid ally is reduced to 1% health, they equalize health with L337.
So does that mean it stops them from dying?
Yeah, it has to. It has to. Because, I mean, if it was literally like, it's only triggers if they hit exactly 1% health.
Yeah, and not just outright killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is basically like a almost like a prevent, like a,
preventative death?
Yeah, preventative death type of situation.
Yeah, because if you read the wording of it too, heal immunity won't stop it.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a health equalizer.
Yeah. Now, this is just the first time it happens.
Right, obviously. It can't be so overpowered where you have to immediately target L3 first.
Yeah. So, I mean, this right here, so, if L3 didn't take damage from any enemy since her last turn, she gains prepared. She's a tank who's going to have taunt up a lot. She's going to be attacked a lot. So, that first line of this unique, I kind of throw out the window. Like, it's not something that I'm really concerned about.
Right.
Whenever she takes damage, dispel debuffs from a random scoundrel ally at the end of the round. That's nice. She gains turn
meter. It could work with IG-88.
Yep. Whenever a droid or scoundrel takes damage, she gains 15% turn meter. That's awesome.
I wonder if that includes... You said droid or scoundrel?
Yep.
Hello?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I said droid or scoundrel. So, like, any form of AoE is going to give her 60% turn meter, right there.
Right. But I also wonder, like, again, with the IG-88 thing, because he's the only real, like, droid scoundrel, I think, still.
She would get double that.
30% turn meter, then?
So, really, she'd get 75% turn meter gain from an AoE.
Yeah. Right. Interesting.
Yeah, there aren't any other droid scoundrels, so, yeah.
I mean, IG-86, but, right?
Nope, not a scoundrel.
Oh, wow, okay, just a droid.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Just, I'm looking at the scoundrels right now, and, yeah, the only droid on here is 88 and L3.
Yeah, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, is that a Zeta?
Let me pull it up.
Because if it's a Zeta, I'm interested, because... With Imperial Probe Droid, if he blows himself up, would he not die?
It is a Zeta. Yeah, the first time each other droid ally is reduced to 1% health, they equalize. Yeah, that's a Zeta. And we need science. We really need science. You said you have somebody in the guild who has her at 7 stars?
Yes.
Can you sweet talk them?
How?
By saying really nice things to them and have them test this out?
The Imperial Probe Droid thing?
Yeah.
Because
that
try.
Would be insane.
If Imperial Protector blows himself up, only to come back with equalized health and then do it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might be worth looking into.
Just trying to think. I'm really liking what they're doing with droids, because they're slowly adding more and more droids.
Yeah, and it hasn't been like to a single droid faction for a giant rework yet. Where is my phone? I need to access the game.
Honestly, this can all revolve around a Grievous rework, because they don't have a true leadership ability. They have HK.
Which, I mean, in this meta, in the Sith Triumvirate meta, is eh.
Yeah.
Because it plays into them.
Yeah, but they need an actual true droid leadership ability. 88 has a leadership ability, but that's based on bounty hunters.
Right. I wonder. Let me see. Where is he? You can keep talking.
Oh, yeah, no. I'm just wondering. I'm like, man, they could do so many good things with droids.
They could. It's such a possibility, too.
I think it all has to revolve around Grievous, though. If you do not have Grievous, in any droid team you make, if you do not have any droid rework you make, if you don't have Grievous a part of it, then you're doing something wrong, because he's the leader of the droids.
Right. He's the commander, the general of the droid army, so naturally he should have a giant synergy with droids.
Mm-hmm. So, anything around that, the only tricky thing is you do run into the light side, dark side droids. Like, right. The best, honestly, three of the four best droids are light side.
Right. L3, obviously.
R2, BB-8.
R2, BB-8. And then the other two, the dark side ones, are IPD and IG-88.
Yeah. And even IG-88 is not all that great, because IG-88 is still a glass cannon.
And a bounty hunter. Yeah. Which has mainly bounty hunter synergies.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. No, I can see droids getting a big rework.
I totally can. Especially if a certain destroyer droid makes it in. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. There's some droids that are missing. C-3PO. one of them.
Droidica.
I mean, C-3PO is the last true big name in the Star Wars universe we're missing. We don't have the big Luke Skywalker, but we have two forms of Luke, and we're getting, we're doing the journey for Luke.
We know eventually, Jedi Luke will be in the game.
And we still have two Lukes in the game.
Yeah. Now, you're missing another big name character, though. That's a droid.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah, you are.
No, okay, who is it?
Mouse droid.
No.
The little droid that runs across the floor of all the Star Destroyers?
No.
Cleans up the place?
No.
Come on, man. He's iconic.
Yeah.
Iconic.
Not as iconic as C-3PO.
No, I think he's more iconic. No. He's everywhere. He does the grunt work, man. He deserves the 8-star first ever character. Mouse droid.
No. So,
On basic dispels all debuffs from your team.
Yeah. So, let's see here. We actually have one more unique to go over with L3. So, L3, unique 2, self-modification. So, L3 has plus 25% max protection, and then when L3 becomes prepared, she gains taunt for one turn, and then at the start of each encounter, she becomes prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So, that means she starts the match off with taunt. So, and then at the at the start of the battle, L3 gains the Enhance MK1 special ability. MK1 gains 50% counter chance for the rest of the battle and becomes impaired. When used, this ability upgrades to MK2. MK2 is gained 30% crit avoidance and 100% offense for the rest of the battle and become prepared. When used, this ability upgrades to MK3. And then MK3 is increased counter chance to 100% for the rest of the battle and become prepared. And this ability may only be used once.
Hmm.
So, I don't know how this whole MK stuff actually works.
The mark system upgrades, yeah, upgrades.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't really toyed with her that much. But
no, neither have I.
An auto taunting droid tank.
I don't think I've unlocked them yet.
Should probably do that. It's probably going to be over today.
Well, I have the shards for them, but I haven't hit the activate button.
Oh, okay, so it's not like you haven't done the thing.
I've done the thing. Yeah, first day I did it. I'm just sitting on, looking at him like, do I really want to activate them?
So I was.
Secondly, thinking, I don't have the money.
So I will say this. I have two characters presently not unlocked in the game. One is Treya, who I'm at like 75 out of like 140 to get.
Yeah, and you'll know you'll get her eventually.
The other, Ayla Sakura.
Really?
Yep.
Hmm.
I've never opened her from a Bronzium pack, and I've never had a reason to farm her.
Interesting.
So I do, those are the two characters. Like, I feel I'm going to farm Ayla just to unlock her. Just to be like, okay, yeah, I have all the characters unlocked.
Hmm.
I know, weird.
Yeah, oh, just a
another
bit
thing. Alright, this is random, by the way. Yay!
Hashtag random thought session.
Hashtag random thought. I got my first 20 speed bot.
Oh, nice.
Yes, yes. I got it on a... I actually got a legit, like... 20 speed mod. It was on a crit chance triangle with a crit damage primary.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's real good. Like, I'm enjoying that.
I bet.
That goes well on my layout for phase 2 when actually I get to attack on phase 2. So, yeah, those are the two new characters. And then both of those new characters go into the new ship. And it is... It is Lando's Millennium Falcon. So we get another Millennium Falcon that is not the one we want. But it is a new ship. So I'll at least give him that. It's a new ship. So
it is.
It's a light side scoundrel attacking ship. Devastating attacker. Devastating is a bit of a strong word. We'll just remove that. It's an attacker that becomes more threatening after each ally reinforcement.
Hmm.
So, let's go over the basics. The basic, double down. Deal physical damage to target enemy with 70% chance to grant defense penetration up to self and another random ally for 2 turns. Alright.
Okay.
Woohoo. First special, buckle up, is deal physical damage to target enemy and inflict offense down for 2 turns. This attack deals 25% more damage against debuffed enemies. So it's basically always going to do the 25% more damage because ships are always debuffed. Always debuffed. So,
yeah.
So yeah, you're basically always going to get that 25% more. And then the last special is the calculated reinforcement. And that is deal physical damage to target enemy and dispel all debuffs on them. The Falcon gains plus 5% crit chance and plus 5% offense stacking for each buff dispelled until the end of the encounter. So, it's a better version of Ahsoka's ability. Like, it's a good way to get rid of that annoying... Because every reinforcement in ships now, the first one is always Boba Fett. like always. And this is a good way to get rid of the counter and taunt from Boba Fett.
That's true. Because in order to get rid of that, I just use Kylo Ren's command shuttle.
Yeah. But this is another good option.
Yeah, it is.
So, and then the unique. It does have a unique. It's coin toss. So Lando's Millennium Falcon has plus 5% crit damage for each enemy without a buff. At the start of its turn, the Falcon has 50% chance to dispel all debuffs on a random ally.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that is nice. Dispel all buffs on a random enemy, target lock a random enemy, and grant speed up for 2 turns to a random ally. These effects can't be evaded or resisted. So it has a 50% chance to do all 4 of those. Now, the thing is so you're essentially going to be getting 2 of these each time. You may get more, you may get less. You know. But by 50% chance, 2 of the 4 will happen every time. The thing is
that's a lot to keep track of.
It's a lot to keep track of, and honestly, you don't have that many turns as ships.
No.
So, like, if you get 2 turns out of the Millennium Falcon and you get this off, yes, it's nice. It's what makes this ship playable. Like, the other abilities, the ship's like, okay, it's, you know, it's good, it's decent. The unique is what gets people to play it. I mean, not enough to get me to not sim. But, you know, it's good for people who enjoy ships.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I enjoy ships, and I'll be not going after it.
Yeah. So, they do have a reinforcement ability. So, the Millennium Falcon gains crit damage up for 2 turns, and copy all buffs on all other ships for 2 turns.
No, that's just good.
That is good. The Millennium Falcon takes a bonus turn for each reinforcement previously called in by the Allied capital ship this encounter. See, that's a fine. That's an annoying fine line.
Yeah.
Because, like, you want to have her be, like, the last one in, but you rarely, if ever, get to your last reinforcement.
I would probably say, you know, you want that ship maybe second?
Yeah. I mean, it depends. Like, if you have the Ghost and the Phoenix ships in there, and, like, Biggs, I would bring it in turn one.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Because the thing is those ships get so many buffs, like those three, that you're going to come in with, like, 5 buffs on it.
True. I would.
But honestly, number 2, second is probably the best bet. You get that one 2. Extra bonus turn plus all the buffs.
Yeah, like say after Boba or whatever.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, so be it. They added a ship finally.
Cool. Yay. Another ship that no one really cares about.
Yeah. Because to make this ship worthwhile, you'd have to, like, that's another problem with ships, is you have to invest all this time into ships, and then you have to invest all the time into the people for the ships, the characters for the ships.
The pilots.
Like, you're going to invest all this into Lando's Millennium Falcon, well then you also have to invest all that into young Lando and L3.
Right.
So that's just not feasible. Like, that's, I think, is another big factor into why people haven't really jumped on ships as much as they might have hoped, is that the fact that you put all this work into the ship, but then you have to put the equal amount of work into the pilot, and a lot of the pilots are useless.
Right.
Outside the pilots of the pilot. Aren't,
yeah. The pilots that aren't useless, like Unmask Kylo and all that, people don't have a problem gearing up. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Boba Fett ship, fine. Vader ship, fine. Biggs and Wedge, even, fine.
Because,
fine. Yeah, Jedi Consular, not fine. Yeah.
Plo Koon?
Yeah, no.
Maybe.
So, I mean, even, like, so, like, you alluded to this earlier, the Jedi Knight Anakin. Jedi Knight Anakin, best pilot, doesn't have a ship, needs a ship.
Yep. Would I gear him to just to be a pilot? Yeah.
But the thing is I don't know if a lot of people would. Because Jedi are useless.
I think Anakin's still got some use.
Yeah, I mean, he had some use until Pow took his place in the Chex Mix team.
Yeah.
Like...
Thanks, McMole.
Yeah, McMole, you jerk-ass.
Dick.
But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you force, like, not force, but, like, you have all these ships people want to play, and then you're like, okay, well, you have to do this long grind to get the ship. Then you have to do the long grind to gear up the pilots for the ships. And it's just like, I don't know if I want to... It's a matter of, are ships worth twice the amount of work?
Not really.
They really aren't.
If it keeps your fleet arena rank, sure, why not?
And the thing is I mean, obviously, the majority of people are not top 50 in ship arena.
Right, only the top 50 of the 50 shards, or of the 10 billion shards that are out there are.
Yeah, like, and even then, a lot of them don't really care that much.
That's true.
The majority of people now just want to try and stay top 200.
And that's all they're trying to do.
Just stay afloat. Like, the majority of people generally sim their ship battles. And this changed nothing because...
As I'm sitting here playing ships.
Well, like, the thing is you know, you're just shifted from one meta to the next. Like, the games go quicker, yes. They do. But... Did anything actually change with ships? No.
Geonosians.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, they may have changed what ships might be better, but they didn't change the actual gameplay. Like, they gave new abilities, gave reinforcements, but you're still going into ships, and it's going to be, you're facing almost the exact same teams every time. You're going to just have no... Everything's going to be bland. It's like... I try to explain this to people, but imagine if we had 50 characters total in the game. How bland the game would be if you only had 50.
That would be horrible. We'd all be using the same thing.
And that's what ships are. And when you introduce something like this with ships, you can't create a mode where it encourages you, essentially, to use the same exact ships. Because right now, if you're not using Thrawn's ship as your capital ship, I don't care if there's some outliers, you have to be using Thrawn's ship. You really do. So you have the capital ship you have to use. And then everyone's running Biggs, Vader, and TIE Fighter pilot.
I'm not.
90% of people are. You're one of the outliers.
I feel like that's because people don't have Geonosians ready.
And I don't think people really give two shits about the Geonosians for ships.
I think they do.
I don't think so.
I think they do.
I mean, do you see people farming Geonosian Spy?
Yes, I do. Ship
outside of your guild?
Yes, I do.
Your guild is... an outlier to everything that we talk about, though.
Well?
It really is. Like, your guild is not the norm. Like, if you came into Rebel Force Alliance, and you did a survey of how many people are farming Geonosian ships, it would be very, very, very minor.
I think the Geonosian ships are very good, along with Admiral Ackbar. Admiral Ackbar is a character numerous people have farmed up, right?
So, alright, let me ask you this. Right now, what's your ship arena team?
My ship arena team is Grand Admiral Thrawn.
Okay.
TIE Silencer.
Okay.
Poe Dameron.
Okay.
Kylo Ren's Command Shuttle.
Okay.
Gauntlet. Plo Koon. Special Forces TIE Fighter. Millennium Falcon Resistance.
Okay, so the majority of those ships, most people can't even get 7 stars right now.
They're free. They're all free to play. They can get them all 7 stars, especially
they
Silencer.
They can, yes.
Plo Koon comes out of the Galactic War store.
Yes.
Kylo Ren's Command Shuttle is a hard farm. Okay, yes.
But Falcon. It's
still a hard farm. Falcon, hard farm.
And are you going to...
He's my last reinforcement. I never use him.
And are you going to have people do hard farms of ships over characters? Probably not.
No. You don't have to have the Falcon, though. He's just there for fluff.
Yeah, it's just... It's one of those things where... You have always been an outlier. You have.
True.
You have always been an outlier. The majority of people aren't getting the same ships that you have. Hell, the majority of people don't even have Poe Dameron's ship at 7 stars. Honestly.
Really?
Yeah, honestly. Because he doesn't show up that much in the shipment store. Or the
ship store. Yeah, he's pretty rare.
So, like, it's just one of those things where a lot of people just don't want to put forth the double effort to try and move up to get some crystals. When crystals themselves, honestly, have diminished in value. Like, as much as I love the fact that we can get gear rather easily now, it diminished crystals. Dramatically. Because people would save up to buy that piece of gear to finish this character off. And now they don't have to do that. And like you said, people are just using their crystals now for refreshes and those 350 piece crystal-like pieces. And stuff like that. So, crystals aren't as... There's still an incentive, yes. They're not as big as an incentive as they were 6 months ago. I don't know. I may be completely wrong on that, but...
I think you're just talking crazy now.
But, I mean, alright, 6 months ago, what were you using crystals on?
Mods.
Same thing you're using crystals on now?
Mods.
You were spending them on mods?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was pre-mod work. Mod store changes.
Yep, and now you use them for mod farming.
Yeah, so you use them for refreshes.
Technically, yes.
So, I guess, and if you didn't have to spend all that, like, mod farming is not something that is game-changing for you. It's really not. Like, if you weren't mod farming as much, yes, it might have a small effect on things, but it generally won't. And
yeah, doesn't really affect much.
Like, really, all a person needs is 150 to 200 crystals a day. Truly. Because then you can do your 3 refreshes and then 1 refresh in arena with that 200. That's really all you need to do. And,
yeah.
And anything you get higher than that is just a bonus. And then you can save that up. Now, people will use crystals to buy characters, which is fine, but a lot of people know that it's not long after they go into the shard store that a character will become farmable. So, like, you're seeing less and less people, like, wailing out on shards to buy character shards and then just waiting like the extra like 4 weeks for them to come out to be farmed. Like, and even gear, people don't buy as much gear. It really truly used to be the big thing people spent gear on or crystals on was gear, and gear is so easy to come by now. So I don't know, I don't know how they can fix ships at this point. I don't know. I don't think they should get... I'm not a proponent of getting rid of ships. Because I think ships can bring value to the game. I'm not a fan of ship arena. I just don't know how they can keep ships relevant without making an arena for ships. That's the problem I run into. Like, I thought about this the other day. It's like...
So essentially, you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Yes. The only thing I thought of that could really, truly increase people's interest in ships...
A raid?
Yes.
I'll agree.
A raid? A ship raid? Or at least a raid where part of... half... And I've said this... God knows how many times on this show previously. A Death Star raid.
You see, I've kind of switched my thing on this Death Star raid. I just kind of want like a nuke gun raid kind of thing.
What do you mean a nuke gun raid kind of thing?
You know those big command ships that the Separatists use?
Yeah.
That.
Okay.
Use that as a ship raid.
I mean, it could work, but what's more iconic, like, than the Death Star?
I don't know. Rancor?
No, the Rancor is not more iconic than the Death Star.
I don't know. That thing's pretty iconic.
But, I mean, you get a Death Star raid where the first phase or two requires ships.
Mm-hmm.
That alone will get everyone all on board for ships. Because nothing... Because this is a game where raid rules... Like, as much as people want to say arena is their favorite part, raids run this game. Arenas are there for the day-to-day activities to keep you into the game. Raids are what keep you in the game. Keep you farming characters. Because, like, if you didn't have any raids to work on... Nobody would work on any characters outside of, like, their five arena characters.
Right.
Like, raids are what this game needs to survive. If you want to make ships survive and make people really interested in them, include them in the raids.
Mm-hmm.
You do that, you turn around the whole ship game.
True. You know, people will start being more obsessed with arena because they need the crystals to get the shards for the ships. And then...
Yeah, like, I mean, you talk to people, they know the abilities that characters have. They know all the abilities off the top of their head. Like, not all, but a large sum of the abilities and uniques off the top of their heads.
Right.
People don't know that for ships.
No.
You ask me anything outside of, like, four abilities for ships, I have no idea. And it's because... You're not worried about it because it's an arena and it's basically a coin flip anyway. Like, oh well, now it's a coin flip. But once you start introducing those abilities into raid mechanics, then people will start toying around, testing things. So that is how they save ships. They do a raid. I don't know if we'll ever get it. I hope we do. But until they do, I mean, I can't see ships gaining popularity. I don't know. That's my negative Nancy talk for the week.
Okay.
I want ships to be good because there are so many iconic ships out there. Whether they're in the game or not. It's just, I want them to, they're a big part of the game, but I want them to be a big part of the game that people care about. And Ship Arena is not something a lot of people care about. And I want them to turn the tables and make it relevant. So, that's my two cents. You guys all know me by now. I rant about things a lot. So
yeah, I mean, almost every day, no Hondo.
Oh God, if Hondo doesn't get a ship, shit's gonna hit the fan.
If Hondo doesn't come in a game, well, it's already shit's hit the fan already.
Yeah,
there are Hondo fans with pitchforks and torches outside of EA right now.
There should be. I mean,
he's in Battlefront 2, for God's sake.
Yeah. He's in Battlefront 2. He was in Rebels. He's in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, he's got his own. In the Naboo Palace, Hondo's got his own portrait.
Yeah, well, that's because people think that him and what's her name? What is
Padme?
It? No, not her. I can't remember. But he's been across 3 Star Wars universes. Really. He needs to be in this game. So, make it happen. Maybe when they get a Scoundrel rework.
Mm-hmm.
No. Separatist? He wouldn't be part of the Separatists.
Hmm.
There's really no... They would have had to include him with, like, Scoundrel or Bounty Hunters.
Yeah.
Whatever. All right.
I don't know.
So, do you have anything else? I think we covered it all for this week.
I just want to, I guess, kind of a shout out, maybe.
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Right. So there's a player, Mind Tricks. You know, hope all is well with you. Hope everything's going okay. So if you are listening, if you're not listening, hope everything's okay.
Okay. Two things that were added to this that I forgot to mention. Bossk is now available in Chromium packs and shipments. And then the hard nodes were reduced from 8 to 5. There's an uproar about that, but they literally said this is for a limited time. Get off.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice while it lasted, but, you know, fun's over. I'm not concerned with it one way or another.
Yeah, they literally said... This is temporary. Don't get used to it.
Yeah. As long as they keep it at 5, I'm happy.
Yeah. So get off your high horses and shut up.
As long as you keep the mod store the way it is.
Yeah, that's the one I'm waiting for. Like, if that changes back, there might be full-scale riots.
There will be anarchy happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because that mod store is nice.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't think I have anything else this week. We will...
Just imagine if they flopped the shard shop back to the way it was.
Oh, God.
Everyone would quit.
Yeah, probably.
It's like, I'm done. I'm out.
Yeah. So next week, we will be on next week. That's Father's Day weekend.
Totally.
It's the weekend after. We won't probably... I'm not saying for sure we won't have a show, but I'll be flying back from Vegas that day.
Is that... What day... Hang on, what day is that?
That is... Hold on, let me bring up the calendar.
24th?
24th.
Okay.
I fly back from Vegas that day, so...
Well, I mean, as long as we do one on July 1st, we're good.
We should be... No. I won't be here on July 1st.
But, why?
Because I will be gone for the 4th of July.
Oh, okay.
So...
okay, it's not like it's my birthday weekend or anything.
Well, we can do something before that. We can do something maybe on like the 29th or the 30th.
Well, we can't do, I don't know if I could do it on the 30th.
Maybe the 29th.
Maybe the 29th.
Okay, we'll figure something
out. It'll have to be late, but yeah.
We'll figure something out. We'll do something, but yeah. Until, you know, next week. Oh, and I forgot to mention that at the beginning. And I don't know how many people have stayed paying attention. There were some computer technical issues, so we couldn't stream the show live. So I'll get that figured out, and then we'll stream live next week. So we shall see you all next week. Have a good night, everyone.
May the force be with you.